Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is great to be back with you today. We've got a lot of great things lined up for this week. Today, and the rest of the week, we're talking about parents in demanding careers. Do you ever wonder how families keep it all together, especially those who are working those crazy hours and crazy jobs, yet they still manage to make it there on Sunday morning to be in worship and receive God's gifts, and they still manage to somehow keep the family in God's Word? So what a great blessing to get to talk with folks who do that well here at Faith and Family. So today, we're going to take some time and talk with someone who works in one of those crazy careers that spends a lot of time really just, working to save the lives of others and also maintaining a faithful family at home. How do they do it? Thanks to our underwriters, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Concordia University, Wisconsin information can be found on our website. You go to kfuoam.org and look at the sponsor section. You can find more information about them there. All right, so Faith and Family, we're talking to guests who have really busy lives. And today, we're talking with Nick Kavoris, EMT paramedic and now recently captain. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you with us today. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about your position. You're now captain. What does that mean?
Well, I got the promotion about a year and a half ago, and I now supervise anywhere from 6 to about 30 paramedics throughout the city for Cleveland.
All right. So you're serving in Cleveland, and you've got, I'm sure, a lot going on recently, Captain. How long have you been an EMT paramedic?
I've been doing this for about 8 years now.
And what kind of training does it take to be an EMT paramedic?
There is training through either colleges or hospitals, and it's about a year and a half of intensive classroom time and also practical, you know, ride time and practical skills, etc.
So it takes a really quite a bit of work and dedication to get to this, to be an EMT paramedic. And I know from my family's experience in working with paramedics, you know, they're very important people, but not necessarily always we don't understand what it takes to get to being an EMT paramedic. So a lot of work to prepare for that you really have to have a lot of knowledge in order to be ready to serve in any kind of situation, you know, to care for people in any kind of situation.
Yes, and there's also a few hours every month of continuing education that has to go into it too, you know, keeping the skills up, etc.
So what, as an EMT paramedic, what does and now as captain, what does a typical work week look like for you? What, in terms of your schedule, what kind of hours do you keep?
Now I'm on a little bit more of a better schedule, but it's 12-hour shifts. I used to be on night shift, but now I'm on day shift, which is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And they're rotating days off, so that's probably one of the most challenging parts of the whole career.
So 12-hour shifts, and how many days a week did you say?
It varies. The days rotate. It's either 5 days one week and it's 2 days the next, but they're split up.
Do you ever get your nights and days mixed up?
yes. Yeah.
So you're really not. It's not a 9-to-5 job. That's for sure, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So obviously that's a demanding career. How about the people that you work with? Do they have similar shifts as well?
Yes, we're all on the basic, you know, same schedule. I'll tell you, the toughest is the night shift. You want to talk about getting your days confused. I'll work in, you know, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. at night. Crazy.
And what is it in that 12 hours? What does that typical 12 hours include? What kind of things are you going to be doing during that time?
You know, as far as my years as paramedics, as a paramedic, we were just taking emergency 911 calls the whole shift. Very little break. It's usually call after call. And now as a captain, it's a little different. It's a lot of scheduling and going out in the field and supervising people on major calls, things like that.
And so what is it, in a shift, you could have one call, you could have no calls, you could have several different calls.
On average, I would say about 10 to 15 calls in a shift.
Okay. So what, and how many people are usually on duty with you when you're on, as a paramedic, how many people are usually on a shift with you?
We have about 30 working at one time, and you're usually partnered up, with one person on 15 different ambulances. Now we're up to about 18 ambulances, so about 36 people.
Wow, that's quite a force. What kind of territory do you cover with 18 ambulances?
We're responsible for the whole city of Cleveland, for all 911 calls, for medical care in the city of Cleveland, which is about, 250,000-300,000 people or so, and then guests on top of that.
So that's quite a responsibility. What would you say is the busiest time of year for the paramedics? When do you get the most calls?
About this time, summer evenings, summer nights, definitely the busiest time. Although it's busy all year long, but this is definitely the busy season now.
And what would be the nature of those calls usually during the summer? Heat exhaustion, things like that?
For sure, heat exhaustion. We've had quite a few 95-degree days lately around here. But, the calls range anywhere from, people having colds and headaches up to people in accidents, shootings, drownings, chest pains, asthma, all of that.
So a lot of, some are very simple situations, some are very life-threatening situations. We're talking with Nick Kavouras, captain and EMT paramedic in Cleveland today. If you would like to pose a question or have any comments about parents in demanding careers, and you're listening in the St. Louis area, you can call us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 outside of the St. Louis area. And you can email us online at family@kfuo.org. So tell us... You never know what you're going to face in a shift. You never know what kind of emergencies you're going to be up against. What are some of the most difficult things that you've faced? What are some of the most difficult or challenging calls you've ever had to go out on?
Definitely traumatic calls with children are probably the worst. A lot of it you get used to and accustomed to, but even then, there's still those calls that get to you, those calls that are tough and tough to deal with.
And so, obviously, those involving children, I could imagine, would be pretty pretty difficult. Is there a story of anyone that really just, any specific call that really got to you, made you rethink, is this something I really want to do? Are there any that really make you question that vocation?
I'll tell you the first one. I was a brand new paramedic, and I was about 19 years old at the time. And we went on to a single car accident with two people who were about the same age as me. And during the accident, I don't want to get too graphic, but the roof collapsed and basically crushed part of them. And that was very tough to deal with and definitely made me question if this was the right career for me.
And what was it that kept you in that? Obviously, you've stayed on and now you're captain. What is it that kept you in that?
Yeah, I definitely had a hard time with it at first. And the thing that got me through was God's word. I turned to my pastor at the time for guidance and help, and listen to some hymnody to give me strength and give me peace and rest, and was able to get through it.
So when we pray Compline and we pray for those who work through the hours of the night and who are in it working in dangerous situations. You're one of those people that we're praying for, huh?
Yes, and I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. So what kind of personality is best suited? What kind of characteristics does it really take to be an EMT paramedic or to work in this line of work at all?
Definitely need to be somebody who is caring for other people, willing to serve, willing to help out other people. And sometimes that's the tough part of it, but you have to put your own feelings and thoughts aside and take care of people.
So it requires this caring, but I know a lot of caring people who probably couldn't stomach it. You have to have this, I don't know. I know you have to be caring, but there's got to be more to it.
I wish I could just put into words what it takes. It's definitely a unique personality to be able to deal with everything and be able to take it all in and filter it out and maintain your sanity and whatnot.
What about the people you work with? What are some of the personalities like on the crew that you work with? I mean, you obviously have to spend a lot of time with them. Do you become kind of family with them?
Yeah, for sure. At some points I'm with, for several years I had a regular partner and 12 hours a day. Half the days in a week we were working together, and almost get to see them as much as family, if not more. It's just a strong camaraderie. I don't know how to describe it more.
Sure. Well, if you're listening in the St. Louis area, want to give us a call. If you have a question about being an EMT, paramedic, or working in this line of work, give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us at family@kfuo.org. Well, Nick, what would you say? You've talked about some of the challenges, some of the difficulties, the most difficult situation you were ever in. And what kept you in it was what kept you in this work is God's word, and the comfort that you receive from that, and the assurance that you receive from that, especially as it was given to you through your pastor and through hymnody. What are the joys of your career?
I'll tell you that a lot of the calls seem routine, but a few times that you get those calls where you really make a difference, where you truly save somebody's life, that's one of the best feelings in the world. I could think of a specific example if you'd like.
Absolutely.
It was several years ago, had a young woman who was pregnant, about 8 months pregnant, and she went into cardiac arrest. And we did what we had to do. We got her pulse back, and feeling her heart start up again and physically feeling her pulse, one of the best feelings in the world, hard to ever replace that. That is one of the best things in the world in this job. Another one is delivering babies. Nothing, even though it's a natural thing in and of its own, there's nothing like bringing a new life into this world.
I'm sure, and being there with the mom and the anyone else who's there to celebrate that occasion, I'm sure they're very grateful, very distressed. Do you interact with? I mean, what kind of response do you get from those you serve in those situations? I'm sure they're always very grateful.
A large majority are. Often get thanks from people. Or thanks from the parents of children and whatnot. And that is very satisfying. And, the other thing is when other people hear what I do, and let me know that they don't think they could ever do it and thank me for my service, that is very fulfilling.
Have you ever had anybody follow up later on and contact you or get in touch with you later on to you know, let you know how things are going for them, or to thank you later on down the road?
You know, occasionally it's happened where, you know, they sent a letter later on to our service to say thank you to, you know, this paramedic or that. It doesn't happen very often, though, but it does happen from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked a lot about, you know, we've talked a little bit about the demands and the career itself. What led you ultimately, what led you to consider this career? What was it that got you interested in this?
You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a firefighter, and I started pursuing that dream, and part of that is going through EMT school. And once I went through EMT school and got to taste a little bit of it, I just loved it. And, you know, forgot the firefighting aspect of it and just continued on as a paramedic and happy as can be. You know, it's great to serve other people and know that I make a difference to other people, you know, in their lives.
And I'm sure that they would affirm that as well, that they would be grateful for your service and your training and all of your expertise that comes into play in some of life's most threatening situations and dangerous situations. Who were some of the people that encouraged you along the way for this?
My parents were definitely there for me, and my wife was there for me for sure. There was another point I can remember where I almost quit early on, and we'll just say that she gave me the encouragement needed to continue on.
What was it that made you want to quit or give up?
It was tough in the beginning, conditioning towards it. They go through an academy that a lot of physical activity and a lot of learning and test taking and whatnot, even after paramedic school. This is to get into Cleveland. And it just got really tough and very stressful at one point, and you know, I had somebody there for me, which was nice.
You mentioned it was stressful, and the physical activity, you know, the physical conditioning. It's always the physical conditioning that gets us, isn't it? That always makes us question whether or not we want to do something. It's always the biggest challenge, especially right after the holidays when we get a little break. Now, speaking of holidays, do you get regular time off for, you know, around the holidays? Or the rest of us who work those you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 5 jobs, we probably get regular holidays. What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's basically, you know, I work about half the days in the year with that rotating schedule, and either I happen to be off for the holiday or I happen to be working it, and really just the luck of the draw. I usually end up getting a few holidays off a year, but it's not like I get to pick, or I always get to be home every Saturday, Sunday, and every holiday. I've worked all of them from Easter, Christmas, New Year's, July 4th, every holiday you could think of.
I could imagine that July 4th would be probably a pretty busy shift to be working.
That's for sure. Thankfully, I was only working during the daytime this last one, but it gets to be pretty crazy between people celebrating and fireworks and drinking and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine. How do you deal with the stress? You mentioned that it's a stressful job. The training was stressful, and I'm sure that the job itself is stressful. How do you deal with that? Do you have a routine or something that you do on a regular basis to help you deal with that stress?
That's a good question.
I mean, the stress,
you know,
would... Yeah, go ahead.
I just, you know, I have a nice family to come home to, and a wife that lets me vent to her when I need to, and that, and, you know, I like to ride bicycles too, which physical activity is always good for relieving stress also.
So it was the very thing that made you want to quit is also the thing that helps you helps you stay de-stressed and unwind. And I'm sure having the support of your coworkers as well. We're gonna we'll talk more about your family in the second half here, and the okay. the important role that certainly that Naomi and the family plays. And I know that your extended family is very supportive as well. So we'll get into that a little bit more here in the second half, because I know that they play a huge role, and that's what this show is all about, is about faith and family. So we'll certainly talk about that. But I'm certain that having this network of support with family and with your coworkers and having a routine, like you said, riding bikes or some other physical activity can certainly help wind down that stress. Anything else that helps you de-stress? What is it? What's your go-to when you've come home from a horrible shift?
That's pretty much it, I think. For the most part, it's manageable. I think, my father is also a pastor, as you know, but the listeners probably don't. He's done a lot of work with safety forces, with police, fire, and EMS, so I always have him to turn to also if I need some help or had a really tough day, something horrific happened.
And he serves as a chaplain, correct, in those areas?
Correct. Chaplain for the City of Cleveland and also FBI also.
So did that have any connection whatsoever in your interest in this career?
I think so. He was able to, I was able to get an inside look because of his position at the career early on and kind of have an idea of what I was getting into, which definitely helped the career and obviously supported me all the way with that.
And I think that that's so valuable that that you acknowledge that our parents really do, whether we want to admit it or not, as young people, our parents really do influence our future careers, whether they influence in a way that we say, I don't want to have anything to do with that because my parents did that or my parents worked in that field, or to the point that I really respect my parents and I have a lot of respect for my dad or for my mom, and I really want to do something in the field that they did as well, or something, what they want me to do sometimes.
Great.
So I can see how parents certainly can be influential. Well, today we're talking with Nick Kavoris, EMT paramedic and captain from Cleveland, Ohio. If you have questions for him or a comment about working in this field, maybe you're a parent who works in a demanding career or you work in a similar field and you have a question or comment for us, you can call us in the St. Louis area. That's 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. So, Nick, you've got a great family. We're going to talk more about this here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about, all the support that you have from your family, but how you keep it together, too. Do you think, in your opinion, you keep it all together pretty well?
I think so.
I'm sure that the guests this week, we're probably going to get a nice mix of folks who think, yeah, I really got it together. But obviously other people around them seem to think that things stay pretty balanced, at least it appears that way on the outside.
Yeah, I will say that there's tough times like anybody has. And it's definitely true that, it looks good on the outside, but it's not always as easy as it looks.
I'm sure it can be a challenge with the hours that you keep, and I wish we could have gotten Naomi today, but I'm sure that you can also share her perspective today as well about what it's like being the wife of an EMT in such a demanding career as well today. Well, we've got more coming up with Nick Kavoris here on Faith and Family in just a few minutes. We're going to talk more about his family and the demands that it really places on his family and what it means to be one who's saving lives but also caring for the lives of his wife and his kids. Lots more coming up here on Faith and Family in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Scientists in Japan have made a startling announcement. They say within a year they'll be able to take a human stem cell, insert it into an animal embryo, perhaps a pig, and implant it into the animal's womb. They say it'll grow into a human organ, likely a kidney or heart, and be harvested for a patient after it matures in the host animal, which would be slaughtered. Even if the stem cell isn't from human embryo, I'm still not sure where I stand on this idea. Wesley Smith, whose specialty is ethics, says we'd also need clear assurances no animal virus would be transmitted to humans in the process. I'd like to have your opinion. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and tell me what you think. You'll also be able to read the opinions of others.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Human trafficking is the third fastest growing criminal industry. It impacts millions of people, including tens of thousands of immigrants, and reaches virtually every corner of the U.S. This trading in the bodies and souls of human beings is clearly condemned in Scripture. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service launched the End Human Trafficking Campaign to help educate and mobilize Lutherans to make a difference. Together we can end human trafficking. LIRS.org/EHT.
On His time, we sanctify your day with the Word of God in prayer. The church year sets our clock. The Word of God feeds our souls and all courtesy of Treasury of Daily Prayer. And we even discuss matters important to you and the whole church. And don't forget to join us for morning prayer every morning right here on His time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 7 a.m. on KFUO.
Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
More than a million young Roman Catholics are expected to join Pope Francis at the Church's World Youth Day Festival, which starts today in Rio de Janeiro. The 76-year-old Argentine became the Church's first pontiff from the Americas in March, and the trip to Brazil is his first international journey since becoming Pope. At the Vatican Sunday, Francis thanked the crowd in St. Peter's Square for a banner wishing him a safe trip.
Buon viaggio. Grazie.
Brazil has more Catholics than any other country in the world, but its church has struggled to compete with evangelical movements. More than 30,000 Argentines are making the pilgrimage to see Francis. Catholics who can't be there in person are being offered indulgences for reverently following the Pope's Twitter feed during World Youth Day. The church teaches that indulgences shorten believers' suffering in purgatory before they enter heaven. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and this week we're talking about parents in demanding careers. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin, you can visit our website, kfuoam.org, and look in the sponsors section. You can click on their link there and find out all about Concordia University, Wisconsin. So today we're talking with EMT paramedic and Captain Nick Kavoris out of Cleveland, Ohio, about the demands of being one who saves lives but also cares for the lives of his family at home. So, Nick, thanks so much for spending time with us today. We've been talking about all the demands of your job and what the nature of your job looks like. We'd like to talk a little bit more about your family. Before we get into that, I want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 314-821-0850 here in St. Louis. Outside of the St. Louis area, you can call us at 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. So, Nick, tell us about your family. I know you have just from our connections on Facebook and reconnecting after some years ago. Tell us about your family. You have, tell us all about them.
Okay. I've been married for a little bit over 8 years. I have a wonderful wife who is very caring and supportive, which hopefully we'll get into a little bit. And have three children, two girls and a boy. In September, they'll be 7, 5, and 2.
7, 5, and 2. So we've got probably 2 years old. Well, probably demands a lot of attention and time with Daddy, just as well as the other kids, I'm sure. And
yeah.
And how did you your wife is Naomi, correct?
Correct.
And how did you meet your wife?
We were both homeschooled and went to a homeschooling conference. I believe it was in Mequon, where the conference was at, and we were both there watching, babysitting the younger kids of parents who were at this homeschool conference, and connected there and continued to talk through instant messaging, and parents helped move that relationship along also, making sure that we got chances to see each other.
So you met your wife and ended up getting married. Was that, how does that in the timeline fit in with your training and becoming an EMT? Which came first?
I met her first, and that was when I was about 16 years old or so. And about the time I was 18, I started my training. And once I graduated high school, I moved out to Indiana where she was from. And continuing my education out there while being able to court her also at the same time.
So her family was encouraging and supportive of you while you were training to become an EMT?
Yes, very much so. They were a big help.
And what did that look like as you were training? You were, I'm sure you were in school quite a few hours. What kind of support did they have to share with you?
Her family, you're talking about?
Yes, right. Yeah.
I was in Indiana, so I was totally cut off from all my, not totally cut off, but you know,
geographically,
family and whatnot. You know, I didn't have them available. So her family was very supportive and helping me if I needed anything, helping me with questions I had, helping feed me and whatnot, and helping me learn the life of being an adult.
And did they also help you connect with a congregation there as well?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. She and her family are part of a confessional Lutheran congregation there. South Bend, Indiana, called the Emmaus Lutheran Church. And that was nice to have somebody solid and connected there and really helped me feel at home in a brand new church at the time.
So the congregation, the family was all supportive of you as you got into your training for this. And then you finally get married.
Right.
And yeah. She knew what she was getting into. When she married this, were you still a student at the time when you got married?
I had just finished when we got married, so she had an idea of what we were getting into, but nobody truly understands what it is until they get into it.
until you actually get into your first work schedule and then
correct.
Go from there. Did you get to take a honeymoon?
Yeah, we had a nice time off, went up to Wisconsin and visited another confessional congregation up there. And yeah, I had plenty of time. Thankfully, I hadn't started work yet or anything.
So the first week of work, newlyweds, what did it look like? Was it crazy?
that was a long time ago.
You don't remember.
it was a tell you, shortly after we got married, I got the job in Cleveland, and we moved back, and that was definitely crazy. Just all happened so fast. Married, moved back, started a new job, and that was when I was having probably the toughest time was the training academy for Cleveland. So it was a little bit hectic for a while, that's for sure.
You got to go back to your hometown then?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And this was probably a move then for Naomi, since her family was in Indiana, a little bit of a move, and for her being away from her family.
Yeah, it was definitely a struggle for her. You know, she was used to, living at home for most of her life, and then, once we got married, we were still close enough that we could visit regularly and be with her congregation, and then we moved 4 hours away, and it was definitely a struggle for her. All she had was my family locally, and I lost that, strong connection with her family, physically. But she still, thankfully, she was able to take lots of trips and visit her family and talk with them and whatnot and get through it.
And being a wife of someone, Naomi is, during the day, she's home most of the time. Is that correct?
She's correct. She's stay-at-home mother, and also is starting to homeschool our children. So she stays at home with the kids.
So she's a pretty busy person, too. She's keeping things running at home and teaching the kids. What would you say, what do you think she would say has been the biggest challenge being a stay-at-home mom and wife of the captain for EMTs and paramedics?
Probably the biggest challenge is I was talking to her about this, and the biggest challenge is getting used to my schedule, just the way that the shifts rotate and the days on and off go. It's like she's on her own for several days in a row, and I'm exhausted after 12 hours of work and come home and sleep, go back to work again, and for multiple days in a row she's on her own, hardly any help from me, and then all of a sudden it's the exact opposite, and adjusting to that back and forth of, oh, you're never home, and then, oh, you're home all the time, and back and forth we go. And that she told me that was a tough adjustment for her.
So it fluctuates quite a bit then, I'm sure, in terms of your availability. How about the kids? How do they adapt to that schedule? I guess they're pretty resilient.
They're starting to understand what's going on and what it means for Daddy to be going to work and whatnot. But this is how it's been for their whole life, so I think they're pretty used to it. They're almost always happy to see me when I come home, and they definitely, I love being able to do things with them on my days off and take them to the park and whatnot, and they definitely enjoy that too.
One of my friends here in the St. Louis area has a name for that. I don't know if he originally coined that phrase, but he calls those dadder days. It's a dadder day when dad gets to spend the whole day with the kids and maybe even give mom a break so that she can catch her breath and give her a day to do something relaxing.
Yeah, that was a big adjustment for me, is realizing that, hey, on my days off, she needs a break too, and she needs to be able to relax and go out and get her things done too.
How about as a father, being spiritually responsible for your family, what are some of the ways that you, I know that having known your family, that catechesis is important. What are ways that that you go about catechesis or teaching your children? How does that happen in your family?
My wife is responsible for a lot of it. I would love to be, but with my work schedule, it's very difficult and tough. But, thanks to her, we've been able to teach the children, the important basics and, start catechizing them, from prayers to night or going over the commandments, that type of stuff. And between that and church and Sunday school, it gets done, which is nice.
And you mentioned church and Sunday school, obviously an important part of a faithful family's life. you probably can't be there every Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Every other Sunday I work during the daytime, and there's very few options here for faithful, confessional Lutheran churches, so I'm pretty much stuck going to church once every other week, and that's a little tough for both of us, for sure.
And certainly for Naomi with the kids, she's there on her own, basically, at least every other Sunday with the kids, right?
Yes. Yeah, every other Sunday she's got three kids to herself and, wrangles them up and gets them all ready for church. And in general, we're not morning people anyway, so that certainly doesn't help on Sunday morning when we start earlier.
So don't be calling the Kavoris family.
I'm there for that.
So don't be calling on the Kavoris family early in the morning. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, so don't be calling on the Kavoris family early in the morning, right?
That's correct.
you all would do better with the evening service, huh?
Yeah, that would help.
Well, in our congregation, we have some families in similar situations where dad can't be there all the time, mom and dad have to split up sometimes. So what we see are other members of the congregation pitching in and helping out, especially in families with really young children. We have some older members, especially folks who've had kids before, who so graciously and willingly will take on the responsibility of being extended grandparents or extended family, and they'll sit with them, or the children can sit with them, and they'll even help them through the hymnal or through, whispering in their ear what's going on in the service and help them understand what's happening. So they're still getting that support, that instruction, and still able to gain what they might. Do you see anything like that happening from time to time?
My mother is very helpful in that role, and will sit with our family and help them out, which is very helpful. But she also has plenty of nieces and nephews who need help, too. So there's definitely the support there, and that's a wonderful thing to have.
Having a supportive family, I'm sure, is very helpful. With all this family around and all the demands of your job, what would you say are some of the sacrifices that either you or your wife have had to make for this important career?
Could you expand a little bit on what you're...
Are there things that you feel like you have to give up or your wife has to sacrifice or give up in order for you to be in the profession or in the career that you're in? Do you feel like maybe your family sometimes misses out on things? A few weeks ago we got to talk with military families, and I'm sure that the lifestyle is pretty similar. It's a very demanding career. You're on, and you're on all the time, essentially, it seems like. And so your family doesn't do all the typical stuff that, the typical American family does. Do you ever feel like your family, either you or Naomi or the kids, or they're missing out on something?
I'd say the biggest things that we miss out on are probably holidays are the toughest. We can participate in it, but it's a lot for her to get all the kids out and go to a family picnic or whatever event or celebration might be going on. So I think that's one of the biggest downfalls. And honestly, I view going to church as a family as a very important thing. And unfortunately, it's only every other week. And so that's another challenge and sacrifice that we make. But for the most part, they do get all the important stuff in.
And you mentioned going to church, obviously, is very important. And we've talked about your mom, your dad. How has the effort and work of your parents during your childhood benefited your family today? Do you see that? Do you see that at work in you and how you're raising your kids and how your family, just your family lifestyle?
For sure. I was fortunate enough to have two parents who are still married today. and who have been faithful Christians their whole life, and very fortunate to see that father and mother and vocation role, and have good examples of what to live up to and what's expected of a father and a
And even with your father working in, he kind of worked in a pretty demanding career as well while you were a kid, so that probably set an example for you, would you say? Oh, Nick, you still there? Sounds like we are having some technical difficulties. We'll see if we can get Nick back here on the line in just a second. So if you're listening in the St. Louis area and you'd like to join the conversation, you can join the conversation at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us here at family@kfuo.org. Let's see if we have Nick back on the line. Nick, you still there?
Hello, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So your dad probably, he was in a pretty demanding career when you were a kid as well. Do you think that that kind of set the pace for you or create an example for you?
For sure. With his chaplaincy work, you know, I was on call, so sometimes he'd be getting up in the middle of the night to go, you know, help an officer or somebody who was in need after something tragic. You know, him being a minister also is a different kind of demanding. You know, he was always able to make time for us, and seeing examples of that was definitely very helpful.
And making time is important. Do you schedule time for rest, or do you schedule time for play? Do you schedule time with the kids, or schedule time specifically, you know, to spend time with your wife?
You know, we're getting better about that. My wife is very understanding and always allows me to get plenty of rest, which is nice. We communicate with each other, which is key, and you know, try to talk ahead about our plans and things that we have to do, and try to plan to do something together regularly, and that's very helpful for maintaining a strong family.
Mm-hmm. Well, no family is perfect, obviously, and
sure.
you talked about communication. Without being perfect, obviously, that means we're going to make mistakes from time to time. How do you deal with those, especially when, like you mentioned earlier, you're going to be gone sometimes, it seems like, for 3 or 4 days at a time. How do you deal with that when you make mistakes in the Kavoris household?
You know, it's just the key is again communication, talking through it, trying to put yourselves in your spouse's shoes and understand where they're coming from and what they're feeling. And after that, making compromises to get around whatever the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, kind of like earlier, it may seem perfect, but everybody has their share of problems. And it helps being in a Christian-based marriage and understanding, you know, what that's all about and that this is forever, and working together to make it work for us and for our children.
And what an example that sets for the children, too, for your children to see that, see mom and dad communicating and talking on a regular basis as often as you can, and acknowledging those mistakes, acknowledging your failure, and practicing forgiveness, too, I'm sure.
For sure. As somebody once said, when one Christian says to another, "I'm sorry, please forgive me," your only response is, "You're forgiven."
Mm-hmm. Every wise man who lives out his vocation faithfully usually has mentors, or someone who has who he learns from. You know, he sits at the feet of the teachers. He learns from people who have done it well. Are there any mentors that have really served you well?
Not to keep on going back to them, but they're so important. My parents and Naomi's parents have been such a great example of that. And also there are people from church who, you know, are faithful and have a family and great to look up to and learn from example from them.
And do, you know, you had the opportunity to learn from your dad's experience and his work as a chaplain and being on call and seeing him go off to work. And maybe, I don't know, if you ever got to go with him in some situations and see him in action. Did that ever happen, that you got to see your dad in action as chaplain?
Yes, there were a couple opportunities like that. When I was younger, he would take me out on some fires and things like that. Obviously, I wouldn't be involved in the personal. Well, actually, there were chances even then when I got to visit with people in the hospital with him and see him minister to them, see him minister to people on their deathbeds, and that was quite an experience.
And so do your kids ever get to see you in action? Obviously, they get to see you interacting and communicating at home. They see mom and dad interacting, but do they get to see you interacting or serving in your career as a captain and EMT paramedic?
Not really. It would be nice to get them to see that, but they're starting to learn what it's about and what daddy does and whatnot. But unfortunately, I can't really sit my kid up in front of the ambulance or whatnot and take him with me.
Not really safe, huh? What advice do you have for parents, whether it be husbands or wives, who work crazy hours like yours? I guess since you're a husband, what advice do you have for other husbands who have a demanding career like yours? Do you have any advice to them? Well, thanks for listening, folks. It sounds like we're having a little difficulty. See if we can get Nick back on the line. We appreciate you spending some time with us on Faith and Family today. And throughout the rest of the week, we'll be talking with more folks about their lives in demanding careers. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming and about the demands of working in that important vocation and serving the public, but also serving her family, being a faithful member of her congregation. What does it mean to work in a career so demanding as that? Later on this week, we'll talk with a firefighter and a peace officer and education folks and an accountant, all kinds of variety of vocations that we'll get to spend some time talking with. And what does it mean to live out their Christian vocation as a husband, wife, and mother and father, a child of God, and also working in these not your typical 9-to-5 jobs? What does it mean for them? If you have questions or a topic that you would like for us to cover on Faith and Family, you can join the conversation. You can email us your conversations beyond just today. Even when the show's over, we still want your questions or suggestions for topics. And so you can send us those at family@kfuo.org. Certainly we can come up with a lot of ideas, but it's really you, our listeners, who can provide insights as to what it is you want us to talk about here on Faith and Family. There are broad spectrum of things that we can discuss here on the show. But if you provide those insights for us, that really helps us really make it a show that pertains to your family and what it is you want to know about. Well, we appreciate, sorry, we lost Nick on the phone here, but we really appreciate Nick and his time with us today, talking about all that's important to him and his family and what it means to be faithful in his vocation. We've got more coming up on throughout the rest of the week, and Moments of Assurance coming up next on KFUO Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.